Hi, welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched the show. I'm Mike Durval, and I'm not sure how much I've seen of Supernatural.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I'm pretty sure I've only seen one episode of Supernatural.
And I'm special guest star Ty Dempsey from the rock and roll band Indications. And I have seen every episode of Supernatural, and there are so many of them. And I've seen them multiple times.
It is a very long show.
15 years.
15 seasons.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think this has broken a record for us in terms of the longest show we've covered on this podcast.
Mm. It's wonderful.
So, Ty, Indications. I've heard there's a band out there.
There is.
Called Indications that you were a part of. You want to talk about it?
I am. I do. We're a band based out of Vancouver, BC. We play alt-punk rock. I don't know. I don't like describing it. You can find us on any streaming service and make up your mind.
I don't like describing it.
Wait, no, what? You know, it's hard to do that sometimes.
Yeah. I get it. Sometimes people are like, that's not real this, or that's not real that.
No.
That's how music can be sometimes.
No. We're not a punk band, and we're not necessarily a rock band. And I don't know. I like it. Maybe you will too.
A ringing endorsement from Indications drummer for his own band.
We're great. No, I mean, we're very good, and you should definitely listen to it.
Nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Right. Mike and Melanie, what do you guys know about Supernatural?
So I'm not sure how much I've seen of Supernatural. I know I've seen a bit of the first season. And the only thing I truly remember is that there's two guys, there's brothers, and then there's another guy there, and they were annoyed by him, and I can't remember why.
and the brothers are really hot. You have to remember that.
I vaguely remember that.
One is most definitely hotter than the other, but I'm not going to say which one.
Ooh. No, I have a preference too. I'd be interested in knowing. If you can remember their names at all.
See, I don't remember their names. That's the thing.
Okay. We can talk about this after. We'll have a full rank tier list.
The more rugged looking one is the hotter one. But anyways,
absolutely, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everyone agrees. I think he's also the more toxic one or something. Like, I don't know.
Everybody in this show is toxic on some level. So.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Okay. See, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well,
cool. I also remember that. I have heard that this show did have a crossover with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, hell yeah, it did. And it's like, it's hilariously corny. It's everything that you would imagine a TV show crossing over with Scooby-Doo would be. It's fine. I don't know.
It's fine. I actually have a very... I have refused to watch the show over the years. And it is not because I know much about the show. It's because I have two friends, my roommate, Janessa, and then our other friend from high school, Michelle, who have been watching this show and they still haven't finished. And every time I catch them watching the show together, they look so mad that they are watching the show.
That I have
basically been like, okay, well, if you're not enjoying it, I have, you know, I don't think I would enjoy the show either. So I'm probably just going to stay away from this and you guys do your thing. Like, it's their thing now. So, like,
yeah,
it's very funny to me when I catch them watching the show together and like Janessa's, because obviously they've been watching through Discord or whatever, like streaming it to watch it together. And like, Janessa's just mad. And I'm like, why? And I'm like, we're watching Supernatural. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I shut the door. Like,
that is the Supernatural experience. It is a fucking slog. There's 15 years in each season is like between 22 and 26 episodes. Ugh. So much stuff always happens all the time.
Wow.
But that's the exact same thing that I...
Is it fun?
Yes. At times. Like,
okay.
I'd say the first seven seasons are like really, really good and fun. Like you can just drop in on an episode and it's like entertaining to watch because it's more of like a, like your regular monster of the week type thing. And then as the series goes on, like the arcs get like longer and there's more weird stuff. And the last season is really good. It's probably one of my favorite ones. They bring back a lot of like favorite characters and stuff.
Awesome.
And yeah. And then the last episode happens and we're going to watch it and it's going to piss me off again. So
I am ready. I can't wait. Actually, this is going to be great.
All right. Well, we're going to watch the final episode of Supernatural. If you want to watch along at home, it's available to stream on Prime Video in Canada, and we'll be right back.
Choose movies, choose nostalgia, choose podcasts, choose Chud, Black Christmas, Dark Man, Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy, In the Mouth of Madness, The Blob, and dozens more reviews with booze. Choose the Black Dog Video After Dark Podcast, an action-packed thrill ride for your ear holes through the world of movies that time forgot. Recorded live at the time in one of the world's last remaining video stores right here in Vancouver, Canada, one time home of the Planet Hollywood that had Arnold Schwarzenegger's codpiece from Red Sonja. Pretty cool, huh? Listen to the Black Dog Video After Dark Podcast on your podcatcher of choice, or at our website, www.blackdogvideo.ca, or even just swing by the shop at 1470 Commercial Drive and buy some swag, movies, pins, what have you. Enter to win an affordable date with a real live video store clerk, the Black Dog Video After Dark Podcast, Wednesdays on an internet near you.
The following contains spoilers for Supernatural. Stick around to the end of the episode to hear Good, Bad, Okay by Indications.
Well, we're back. That was a finale of a show that we watched. Melanie, what'd you think?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I didn't like hate it. But I'm also unsure of whether I liked it.
I am very certain that I did not like it.
I had some things that I liked about it, though, for sure.
It is probably the most boring of all the finales. I don't know. Like I've never seen a finale start out with, like, let's have it, like, a 5-minute chore sequence. Why would anyone want that?
Yeah, it felt like, first of all, the recap was nonsensical to me.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happened previously to this, but I feel like maybe it was the pinnacle of, like, there was this huge fight and something big happened. And then this was like, oh, this is life after that thing.
There's something I wanted to say about the recap. Usually the point of the recap is to recap things so that you have context for the episode. The things in the recap weren't relevant to the episode at all.
Nonsensical. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what I watched exactly with that. All I understood was that something had happened and that thing was over now. And this was like life after that big thing.
Oh, damn. You're so correct.
But here's the thing, though. When it's like, oh, they made it seem like everything was normal, but then bad stuff was still happening. So it's like, okay, what did they accomplish with their thing? Again, the recap just was not helpful whatsoever.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want me to ruin the final season for you?
Yes.
Yes.
So this finale serves as an epilogue for the entire show. And in the previous episode, they kill God.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Why didn't they end on that?
Because you have to, there's like a lot of loose ends. Like what happens, what's life like after you kill God? You know?
You die, apparently.
Yeah, well, apparently heaven's still there. and it looks like suspiciously a lot like BC.
Shockingly, every single city that they go to in this series looks a lot like either Langley or like some other small town around Vancouver.
Okay. So this is like an epilogue. It didn't feel that much like a finale. It felt like an after finale.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Then.
That does make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Watching it without like the last big fight it's an interesting aspect to look at it. I guess that's what you guys do.
Yeah.
But yeah. Like there's a lot of things like, so Heaven, I mean, they kill God.
I know, Biggie.
And then, it's a thing. There's also their other side. There's two sidekicks that get brought up in this episode.
Cass and Jack. Yeah, I picked up on that.
So Cass is an angel.
Cassiel, yes. Is that his name?
Yeah.
I've seen memes of him, I believe.
Yeah, he's great. He's a really well-liked character throughout the show. He's
nice.
Sort of like he's a bit of a comic relief type guy for a lot of it. Because he's an angel that is living with humans and doesn't understand how the world works. So play off that. It's very funny, guys. Yes. And Jack, who is the spawn of Lucifer and a human woman.
Okay.
Who they train to be not evil throughout the last season.
Okay.
And he helps them kill God and then becomes God himself and changes heaven to what we saw there at the end from what it was.
I see. Okay.
Gotcha.
Right.
So Cass and Jack are in heaven now.
Jack, we don't know where Jack is. He's just in the universe somewhere.
Okay.
Cass also,
did he die or
doesn't show up? Yeah, he dies in the second to last, like the one of the previous two episodes.
Okay.
He has to die again to kill God.
Self-sacrifice thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And heaven previously was, the angels would just trap you in like a nice memory that you have.
And you live in it forever.
Live in it forever, like not realizing what's going on. But then, they break into heaven at one point and like
wait, what?
Yeah, they do a lot of like this show.
You look really tired explaining this show. It's almost like you spent hours and hours and hours watching this show and you're like trying to remember. Like,
well, there's just so much stuff. Like, and
yeah.
I was taking notes and like I was trying to remember how many times each one of them has died.
Oh no.
Because when
I figured it was a lot because basically Dean straight up said, "Don't bring me back. That makes bad shit happen."
Yes, but Every single time one of them dies, they say that, and then they bring him back anyways. Or, like, somebody else brings him, Cass brings him back, God brings him back.
Oh, you know what? Like, it's interesting you say that, because, like, for me, that kind of makes the episode make sense in a more, like, the context of, they're bringing people back repeatedly just means, like, no, this is the one time he doesn't bring them back, and then it's a true death.
Yeah. Like, there is no, like, they've, as well as killing God, in a previous season, they killed Death. Like,
what?
Like one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, Death?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So go to a pie festival. Whoa,
we have to talk more about the recap first.
Oh, really? Or we're still on the recap. Okay.
Yeah, dude. Like, first of all, Dean is a mess. Like, did you see? He didn't even. So he washed his dish and then he didn't rinse it. Like, did that not bother anybody else? He just washed it with soap and then put it on the rack. I'm like, that's nonsense. What are you talking about?
Like,
what are you doing
care.
With your life?
They're the odd couple and he's the slobby one, right? Like,
I got that. I also wrote silly. This is all very silly.
It was
bizarrely comical. Like, it wasn't like a sort of, you know, hey, there's some humor comedy here. It was almost like the sci-fi fantasy elements, at least in this episode, took a backseat to like kind of not funny humor.
Yeah, it's like it's almost like 70s like TV sitcom tropes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Letting the dog clean your plate and eating copious amounts of pie. And
like, the washer doesn't work and then he kicks it and then it's working now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
And then, it was weird. But okay. Anyways, now we're on to pie.
Oh, we forgot about the loading guns.
The loading guns. Yeah. He loaded the gun. And
yeah. As part of his morning chores.
They're always got to be ready. Always got to be ready. Like, they live in one of the more like lame, I think, storylines from the earlier seasons was this like men of letters thing that they find out they're descendants of like this ancient, like the stone cutters from The Simpsons, but like, they kill monsters. And like, so they find this bunker and they live in this bunker that's like warded against everything. But you know, two or three times a season, somebody breaks into it somehow, like, oh, like somebody scratched this ancient warding symbol and a bunch of demons break in.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's why they're constantly loading guns.
Okay, that's hilarious because I actually wrote, where do they live? I want to live there. I want a war room.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Yeah, can we talk about that war room for a second? There's like maps, and then there was like weird like
there were control panels.
Yeah, there were control panels.
What like the what, control?
Yeah, what do they do?
Are there missiles?
Some of them I know control like the HVAC, like the air conditioning, like. Because I think in like a previous episode, something happens and they get locked inside and they're like running out of air. And then they're like, oh, like let's hit some buttons. And then it turns the air circulation back on. But other than that, the control panels are kind of just there. Like the control panels don't do anything.
Yeah, it's just more of a set deck thing than, yeah.
And they also, I love the map of the world too, because they never leave the United States. they can do credit card scams, they can do lots of stuff, but they can't do passport scams, I guess. They can impersonate FBI officers, but they cannot get a fake passport.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was that was a sick place. But anyway, sorry, we're on to the pie just now.
Yeah.
Now, has the pies been a running theme throughout this show? His love of pies?
Yeah. So as you can tell, because Dean is a slob and so all he eats is like burgers and pies. Yet is like 1,000% more jacked than any person, like maybe other than Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like on the face of the planet. But yeah, that's the gag is the pie gag.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to say that the music in that sequence was just super cheesy, like weird, like guitar solo kind of thing.
Yeah. Like the whole series has that like
blues guitar.
Yeah. Blues guitar.
Well, they use a lot of like classic rock, and just while we're on this, they use Carry On My Wayward Son a lot.
Oh, really?
I fucking hated that song to begin with. And I hate it even more now. And like,
did you like the cover of it?
I wrote it down in all caps here at the very end. Like, it's somehow worse than the original version of it. I mean,
okay, it takes a special kind of like, what the fuck to do, like, to put several minutes of that song in and then to have the guy die and then to have just a different version of the song.
Like, why? It was a bold choice. It was a bold choice. It was, oh gosh, it was funny.
All right, so back to the pie.
So the pie, and then like that was the first scene that made me question whether there was actually a script or not.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a lot of ad lib and improv. I don't know if that's true or if you know anything about that.
There's a writer that is cursing you right now, probably.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think so.
They just look I don't know if it's because they've been doing the roles for 15 years, but like they just seem so at ease. And the stuff that they're saying is just so crazy sometimes. I'm like, this can't have been written.
Yeah.
This can't have been a like something that somebody wrote down, right?
No, no, it's there's a lot of, it's very like well scripted. I wouldn't, well,
yeah.
Well scripted is not the term that I would use. It is scripted. It's just like, I think that, like I said before, like so much happens like over and over again because it's been on for so long. It's like they just sort of write the same parts, but like in a different town or like a slightly different setting. So like, I think like the ease of what you're talking about, like them talking to each other, is just like, oh yeah, we've said this before.
Mm-hmm.
We, maybe not this exact way, but we've said this same thing before.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Then we got stabby stabbed. Guy gets stabby stabbed.
Well, first you have to talk about the sinister music that started where you're like, oh, something bad's definitely happened. And then guess what? Bad stuff happened.
That's called foreshadowing.
Oh, yeah. Foreshadowing with music, which is better than regular foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The masked people were kind of hilarious. They were like Joker knockoffs.
Yeah. I don't know why they did that this time around. Like, they never, like, I don't remember any other episode where they, like, they're vampires, but they wear scary masks. It's like, dude, you're a vampire. Like, you're going to be inherently scary.
So the masks are new? That's so weird. Oh, so
are these creatures? So they were vampires?
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah. They drained the blood. And
well, they also like ate tongues. And I was like, that's not a vampire thing. That's like a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also they cut off their heads with apparent ease, which I thought was weird.
It's because they've been doing this for 15 years, Mike.
Okay. Yeah.
They've just gotten so good at it.
They're real. Real strong machete swinging muscles.
Yeah.
I don't, I mean, like, they would have to be really sharp too, right? Like the machetes.
Yeah, they load their guns and they sharpen their swords and machetes, yes, every day.
Yeah.
It's like brushing, like you and me would brush our teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They also do that as we they detail in this episode. This is the morning.
Dean might not actually. Dean might yes, not, but he true. Might still have really gorgeous teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's his shtick.
He's a specimen.
Mm, oh yeah, he is though.
So something I didn't pick up on in this episode at all, like I was under the impression that these characters had magical powers, but they don't, or they
no they're just two dudes.
Okay.
So without trying to get too much into the backstory, their mom was killed by a demon, and then their dad, who witnessed his wife die in a burst of flames, suddenly became a monster hunter. He dedicated his life to chasing down the demon that killed his wife and brought his kids into the mix with him, as you would, like teenage boys just rolling around North America or America, never Canada.
Right.
and killing monsters along the way. So like, they just have like a wealth of knowledge.
Even a show that's filmed exclusively in Vancouver just refuses to acknowledge Canada, hey?
Well, there was one where they get, one episode where they get shifted into a different reality, and it's very meta, and they play themselves as playing characters on TV. Oh my God. So the whole thing is like, wait, like, why the hell are we in Vancouver? Like, what the hell is this? And Sam's, like, the actor that plays Sam is married to one of the, like, main demon, like, bad guys in the first couple seasons. And so they go into his house and she's there and they fucking flip shit because, like, oh, you're a demon and you're back from the dead. Like, how are you doing this? And it's like, no, I'm your wife, you idiot. Like, yeah.
I think I would want to watch that episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't watch the Scooby-Doo episode, watch the one where they become themselves.
Acting really funny. Okay. And then, so they pretended to be FBI agents, which I assume is something that they probably do all the time, mm-hmm. with the phones and everything. Yeah. And then they saw the picture. First of all the people who like witnessed these things and their faces who drew for them were beautiful artists. Like their rendition of the masks were perfect. And so obviously they figured out what the creatures are. They go find them. It's very easy. And then there's another bit where they come out of the car, they go into the trunk and like start loading up their weapons and stuff. And they only take one weapon for some reason. Is that what's up with that?
So like one of the most frustrating things, and I was texting Mike leading up to us recording this when I was rewatching the entire series again. These are two people who never learn anything from any situation that they've ever been in.
Amazing. That doesn't sound very frustrating.
It's like you know, I'd be watching an episode and like for the millionth time one of their knives would get knocked out of their hand. I'd just have to get up and walk away. Like tie the knife to your hand. Do something. Try something different. Like come on. Figure
have
it out.
Two knives maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Something. Anything. Like, oh.
I thought it was a very interesting choice because not only does Sam pick up a gun, he cocks it, and then I think he puts it back because we never see that gun again. And he took a machete. And I was like, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, because they find the one guy. That's how they find the hideout, right? They shoot.
Yeah.
And they shoot the one vampire that they find. And
in the head, yeah.
In the head. And they love explaining... even though that this show has been on for 15 years and vampires are very, very common in this universe. They're just rampant. Covering a bullet with dead man's blood and then shooting a vampire with it kind of like
incapacitates them.
Yeah. Like they're like really like their body is drunk, but they're not like,
right.
Right.
So yeah, but they love explaining that. So he's like the vampire is like, oh, what did you hit me with? It's like, you think you would know. Like, there's only two things that can really damage you, and that's getting your head cut off and getting shot with a bullet covered in vampire or a dead man's blood. Like, nobody explained that to you? That's not in the vampire handbook, I guess? It's
like, hey, this is orientation for vampires. Just so you know, don't get your head cut off, because you'll die. Dead man's blood, bad.
Yeah.
What about stakes? Is that not a thing?
No. That not these types of vampires. For some reason, stakes do nothing.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, are there subcategories of vampires?
Maybe. Like nice. You know, like I said, there's 300 and some episodes. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to like racking my
brain. That was probably an unfair question. Be like, hey. Could you go back like all of these seasons?
All right. So we're chopping heads off, and then we see a Jenny.
Yes. Yeah.
Jenny comes up and I was like, who dat? And then, before I could even finish writing it down, she was dead.
Yeah. Like that was a weird choice for a character to bring back. Because like she was only in one episode.
Oh, really?
And she got turned into a vampire. As far as I can remember.
How far back was this?
Well, you saw, like, you see how
he was,
young
they were
look.
So young. Yeah, so, they were so
oh,
young.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Like, at least 10 seasons ago, like, maybe more, like, maybe 13 seasons ago.
Yeah.
And they just bring her back once, and she just, like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I just called dibs on eating your heart or whatever. Not eating your heart, like draining your blood. And then she gets her head chopped off. And like, that's it.
Yeah, that was weird. Because now that you say that she was only in one episode, like, did anybody remember her? That's probably why they did the flashback for her.
Yeah, they do that a lot in the last season because they bring back so many characters, like multiple characters an episode, where they're like, "Oh, remember fucking Steve from 12 years ago? He we like saved him from a golem or something like that. Like random things. You're like, oh, hey, yeah, Steve. Sure. How's it going? And then, you know, they save him from some other monster. And then they just move on.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah. Anyways, that just seemed like a really weird cameo. Okay. And also at this point, I started worrying about their voices. They're so low and like groggly. And sometimes it goes even lower when they're trying to make a point or whatever. Are they okay? Like voice wise?
I think like they inherited the voice box of a career smoker, or they're doing their best like Dark Knight Rises Batman impression or something like that. But yeah, like they're both like
they're both so like low, like, and don't get me wrong, I'm into it. I really like it. But at the same time, I'm worried about them, and I'm wondering if that's their real voice.
I just wanted to say that there was an excessive amount of head cutting. I don't know like where this show aired, but it seems like weirdly, like it's a little bit violent. It's just weird.
This is a horror show. Isn't this a horror show?
Pop? But it's also
horror.
Horror?
Yeah.
Horror?
Why have you forgotten how to say horror?
That's something different.
Anyways, isn't this that specific genre that I'm trying to say?
Thriller?
No!
Yeah, this aired on CW.
So why, like, it's so weird to me that they would have blood, and then like there is a zoom out shot where you could see like pools of blood on the ground and then heads that are very fake looking but like pools of blood on the ground and stuff. Like, I wasn't expecting to see that much violence in this episode.
Yeah. There's lots of blood.
I thought that it was meant to be bloody and gruesome and like,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it is just like, it is weird knowing that it aired on like the king of YA entertainment, the mm-hmm. CW network, and yet it's like so bloody and violent and
right.
Yeah.
Not like there isn't a whole lot of like wholesome content other than just like every once in a while, the brothers telling each other that they love them, or that they're like, oh, I miss my dead mom or something. Because like, there's a lot of that.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're getting to the point where, or the big thing happened this episode, I guess, which was Dean fighting that guy and then getting stabbed in the back by the wall.
Yes. And then having a very, very long talk about it.
I liked that. I get a sense that they've died so many times, and then this was the one that probably felt the most real because it was ending.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Because they killed God and Death also, who were two of the main like resuscitators of their lives. Like they were brought back multiple times throughout the series, and yeah, like that moment where Sam's like, I'll find a way, and
lower even actually.
and Dean's like, no, like, you know that only stirs shit up. Like, yeah, you get it's supposed to feel final because like it is like,
yeah.
And the thing about that, like, Dean all along is the martyr in the show. Like, he's always the one that's like charging headfirst into danger,
mm-hmm.
and like putting himself, like, he's I don't know if like low self-esteem is the right word, but he's very much like my life doesn't matter as much as everybody else's lives,
right?
So he just runs into things, and you
hero complex.
Yeah. So like, it's a bit like having him die is a bit like hitting the nail on the head a bit too much, in my opinion.
Yeah. But does the other brother die too throughout the series?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I think everybody does.
But like which one dies more? Like, if you had to, is that a dumb
go
question?
Go back and count every single time each of them have died, please, and then come back and see us.
Dean died at least twice. Sam didn't technically die, but he was locked in a cage in hell along with Lucifer and the Archangel Michael.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they've died a lot, basically. Well, I will just say that I appreciated that the brothers got a moment, mm-hmm. you know, because you can really tell that they love each other. And then again, this had a real sense of finality to it. Like, there's no coming back from this.
I appreciate that as well. But I felt like the moment was too long. Like, there definitely was a time was like, OK, when is he going to die, though? Because this is a really long time to be talking about after getting stabbed.
Again, is there a script? Is that's the question?
No, yeah, kidding. Yeah.
I thought it was really lovely. Yeah, again, I guess I don't know how people die. I don't watch enough Grey's Anatomy to be able to tell you how long it takes for somebody who gets stabbed in the back with a pylon or whatever to pass away. But I thought it was fine.
Yeah. How did you feel about that moment, Ty?
I mean, like, the whole show is like so drenched in nostalgia.
Yeah.
And they like during that moment, like, you know, Dean's like, you remember when I came and picked you up? And it's like calling back to the first episode where Sam is going to law school at Stanford and Dean like fucking.
That's the episode I watched.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the very first one. So Dean goes and guilt trips him into leaving Stanford for a week. And coming to help find their lost dad, who was just lost and not dead at that point. It's just that whole scene is just they're just using it to sort of make you sit there and remember some stuff. Like, hey, remember when this happened? And they're like, yeah, I remember when that happened. Like, do you remember when this other thing happened? Yeah, I also remember when that other thing happened. And it does, yeah, it does go on for a bit.
But Ty, did it make you sad?
Yeah.
Oh. Did it make you actually reminisce about the show? Because you're saying that's what that was for. Did it work?
Yeah. They acted their little hearts out. Like, you can tell.
Who's a good actor? You're a good actor.
I thought the first time I watched it, I thought it was good. I thought it was touching. In a way, like, you really get the sense of like how much they've been through together on this journey. I think it was good.
Me too. I cried.
Okay, so I'm the outlier then.
You're just heartless, Michael.
I like the first half of it, and then after a while, I'm like, okay, wrap it up, folks. Go and die now.
You should have died like 2 minutes ago. I'm gonna go get a beer, or I'm gonna go check out, and I'll be back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we got guy getting old.
Okay. There's so much that you're missing here. Stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stop
okay,
it.
You go ahead. I'll shut up.
I can't believe you're jumping already to the old man. I'm calling you out for that. Stop it.
Mike really hated this episode. He just wants to get this over with.
Mike, you know what it is, Melanie, is that I just don't have as thorough notes as you see.
Well, then why are you the one trying to guide us through the timeline?
Go ahead, Melanie.
Be like, oh, yeah, so then they end up at that bar in heaven, right?
So then we get to the credits.
Okay, anyways, then Sam gives him a Viking funeral. First of all, well done with that.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Did you? Why didn't you write it in your notes, Michael? Sorry. Anyways, yeah, there's the Viking funeral. First of all, first thing I wondered, because this is how my brain works, does he have a permit for that? Probably not. That's fine. What was the reasoning for giving him a Viking funeral? Is there a reasoning? Is it so that he doesn't get resurrected?
Yeah. So the whole idea that whenever there's a ghost or anything, they always have to find the body and dig it up and exhume it and then they salt the bones and burn them. So they do that to every major character that dies. There's always a very dramatic scene of one of them standing there, like with the book of matches lighting on fire and then throwing it. And, you know, normally it's in slow motion and
yeah,
there is a reason behind that. It's so that he doesn't get trapped in limbo and is a ghost for forever.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I thought so. I like how casually you said every time there's a ghost.
there's a lot of ghosts.
I like how casually you said salt the bones.
Mike and I are just like, I'm sorry, what now?
You know, as you do, great. You're making a stew or you're killing a ghost. Salt the bones.
Yeah. Okay, after that Viking funeral, there is yet another montage, but this time it's of Sam being sad in their house. I'll just say it. It was kind of funny.
I feel like it was the only main reason why this chore.
They had the happy montage at the beginning, so that they could have the contrast of the sad montage later.
Yeah, where he does no chores.
But that doesn't excuse the montage.
If anything, they could have just cut both montages, and then it would have been fine.
I think that would have been good. Yeah.
Okay. The table. Also,
yeah, what's with the
whatever
table?
Dinner? The table had all their names on it, and I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Yeah,
it had like Castiel and Jack and Sam and Dean,
right?
Like they were the Breakfast Club or something. Like it was cute.
Yeah, like that's one of those like nostalgia moments. Like I'm sure that there was a scene earlier in this season or the last one where they all carve their names into the table and like put a heart around it to, you know, make sure everybody that came after them knew that they were best friends forever.
Best bros forever.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Or like family, like, mm-hmm. like Vin Diesel, Fast and the Furious family.
Yeah.
Yeah. You also mentioned Sam being sad earlier when they're at the pie eating contest. He says,
calls him Sad Sam.
Yeah. Don't be Sad Sam. And he's like, I'm not being Sad Sam. He's fucking sad all the time. that is Sam's like default emotion is just like sad about something. He's sad about his girlfriend dying, his mom dying, his dad dying, his friends not being there. Like, okay. He's always sad. Like,
it sounds like he needs help.
He's me in high school, just like listening to the worst emo music and like laying in his room and screaming into his pillow.
Oh no. So wait, would that make Jon Snow a regular Sam, or is Sam a regular Jon Snow? Does that reference go beyond?
I have not watched Game of Thrones, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jon Snow is also just a really sad character, but I think Supernatural came first, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Supernatural came before and after.
Oh, okay. Then we get to all the phones.
Yes.
All the phones in Dean's desk that had like really shitty labels of like FBI, blah, 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 and all these. The other phone, which, why do we know what that is?
So that's a reference. There's multiple times where Sam will call Dean. And one of the times that they're not talking because they're mad at each other. Sam's sad, so he calls Dean to apologize or just to talk, and Dean lets it go to voicemail, and it goes, you've reached Dean's other cell phone. You know what to do. And that's the message, and that plays like multiple times throughout the series. So I guess that's just the phone that he's always calling.
I was just mostly confused by like how these phones remain charged in this drawer.
I was gonna say. Why does he keep them there?
They're like old Nokia brick phones too. Like,
oh, they probably last for weeks then.
Yeah.
In theory, like if you don't open them and nobody calls them, they should just stay charged. I guess, for a bit.
I don't know, man. Batteries have a half-life. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, you that's the hole that you're going to start poking at, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, not the killing God bit. Yeah.
Yeah. The whole series made sense up until the drawer phones that were miraculously charged.
Okay, and then he takes a job, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of insinuating that he doesn't stop doing what he and his brother were doing.
Yeah, I think he goes on knowing that he can't live with the knowledge that he has of the world out there, of the scary monsters that are out there eating and killing people. And it's his duty to continue saving people and hunting things.
But then in the future, they show him having a normal life instead of continuing his job. Like, why didn't they show a little bit of both, I guess? Because basically by showing him having a family, like with his wife and his son and stuff, it kind of took away from the fact that he continued the job. And it seems like he took a backseat to that to have raise a family because they didn't show him doing kind of both.
Yeah, it was ambiguous enough that it's just like, I don't know what happened.
Well, no, the only reason I think that he continues the job is because at the very end when his son tells him he can go. And first of all, I would never say that to my parents on their deathbed.
Why not?
I don't know. It just seems wrong to be like, you can leave now. You're good. The son had the tattoo as well.
Yeah.
Right? And that kind of, I feel like that's an important mark for stuff.
Oh yeah, what was the deal with the tattoo?
So they all have the tattoo. It wards them against possession by demons.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm willing to bet that that's probably a popular tattoo among the Supernatural fan base.
Oh, I was scrolling the subreddit before doing my research for this, and yeah, it's like 50% that tattoo, like, nice. At varying degrees of quality.
Oh gosh! And now that I think about it, not only did the son say you can go now, but when Sam probably passes away, he just starts salting the bones and then, like, goes to burn him.
Yeah, that really, really expensive hospital bed just got lit on fire.
Oh, my gosh. But anyway, sorry I jumped.
No, that's
a little
fine.
Bit.
We can. The one thing I did want to bring up is,
yeah,
how hilariously bad they aged him.
Oh, it's just a wig. It's just a wig.
And then, like, he gets, like, at one point when his son's a teenager, they just give him glasses.
Yeah.
And then he goes to, like, get in the old car one last time before, like, his legs stop working or whatever that's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so we got you in this wig. Just going to need you to, like, scrunch your face up a little bit like this as you're like creakily climbing into the front seat of the car. Like, oh yeah, no, you're old. You're really old.
Yeah.
Really old now.
Great skin, but yeah. Real old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Old man Sam was an interesting choice. But also him growing older and stuff, him going in that car that one time made it seem like he never went in the car again and did the job. So it was weird. It like didn't, that was just a really weird sequence where nothing seemed to hit home. It was like, it was just him and his son. And I was like, that's also good. That's also touching. And you know, that makes sense, I guess. But does his son do the job now?
I mean, like based on the tattoo and everything, like, you'd have to know that he'd have to have some at least knowledge of what's going on. But like throughout the series, Sam very much doesn't, like, he's always the one that's torn between leaving and staying. And like,
yeah,
that's the other part. Like with Dean alive, none of that happens. Like he doesn't have a kid. He doesn't move on. Like they just keep,
yeah,
they just keep until, you know, one of them dies. And like in the past, one of the first times that Dean died, Sam just like moved on and like moved in with a girl and did that whole thing. So like, it's very much, it's set up before that, like Sam is the only one that can really do anything other than just credit card scams and like hustle pool.
Right.
Yeah. Like I know it doesn't do a good job of like transitioning between Hunting and him just being like a dad, but I think like through maybe if he had more context from the rest of the show that like that's like implied.
Okay.
Right.
Well, no, because like if he goes off and he just becomes a family man, there's nothing wrong with that. I like that's a lot of responsibility to put on a person to ask them to be a demon hunter for the rest of their life. If they want to back out of that and become a family person, I'm for that. The only reason I'm questioning what it is that he did at the end is because he took that phone call and he said he was going to do whatever work. He was going to go find out what that monster was that was eating all those hearts. But then they show a montage of him not doing that. They show a montage of him doing other things, which was, you know, playing baseball with his son. And I'm like, okay, cool. Wait, I don't understand. Like, what was his future then? Because they did two things, I guess. Yeah. I'm just confused. That's all.
Remember when I said that the show is like deeply frustrating?
Okay, this is it. This was the feeling.
This is one of those things where you're sort of like, well, yeah, no, like totally. You could have been like, you know, he could have answered that phone call and been like, Dean's not here. Clunk. Like,
yeah.
And
made it clear that he wanted his future to be different.
Because, like, that's what Dean would have wanted me to do. He would have wanted me to move on and have a happy life with a wife and a kid and, like, all this stuff. But they don't. They, like, do two things, which is a terrible choice for any TV show.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, if this episode is anything to go by, it just feels like there are no stakes most of the time. Well,
except for that deeply emotional scene between the two brothers.
Mike, did you watch the show?
Okay, we haven't even talked about Dean getting to heaven. Mm-hmm. First of all, who was that old guy?
Yeah.
So that is his uncle. That sort of like, because his dad wasn't around so much, his uncle looked after him a lot.
Gotcha.
And also served as like a monster 411.
Right.
Like not just them, but like other hunters in like this network of hunters across America would call him and be like,
oh,
yeah,
there are more hunters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I was not aware of that whatsoever. I thought it was just all on these two guys.
No. So there's like Bobby, which is his uncle. He was a hunter. He ended up in a wheelchair after some time. So like he couldn't do that anymore. That's why he turns into like.
The Oracle. He's the Oracle.
Yeah. Well, no, he's like, he just like transfers phone calls and like tells people what he thinks the monster that they're hunting is.
Oh, that I'm like saying Batman's Oracle. She was Batgirl and then her legs got broken and stuff. And then she became like that. She became Bobby, which came first. I don't know, Batman or Supernatural.
It's hard to say.
Okay, so yeah, so basically there were other hunters that could take. Okay, so then they shouldn't have made him take that phone call. They should have been like, no, I'm gonna go become a happy man. Sorry, I had to jump back on that because that's
yeah. That's I guess an important piece of context as well, is that like throughout the series there's like a large network of other hunters that are friends, like hunters that they don't get along with, like all of these.
And all these other hunters are presumably all in the United States as well.
Yeah, there was some British hunters that were the bad guys in season 13. They were, you know, as you like a prototypical British, annoying, pompous people, like, you know, the type of people that salt of the earth American hunters wouldn't get along with.
Okay. So Bobby is not the daddy. Like I thought, he is the uncle. Mm-hmm. Was that a good cameo? Because the only other one that we've talked about was Jenny.
Yeah. No, Bobby's a good cameo. He's a really, really popular character.
Gotcha.
Drops his tagline in there. Idjit.
Idjit.
Yeah, idjit.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's, you know, it's interesting. It's not just that there weren't that many cameos in this episode, but there also weren't that many characters in general.
He name dropped a lot, though, Bobby. I wrote them down. You got Rufus and Aretha.
Yeah.
No clue who those were.
Yeah. There is one important character because their dad is...
He was in Grey's Anatomy. I know that, right?
He's the main bad guy in Walking Dead, like the really popular one.
The guy with the baseball bat.
Yeah.
We don't deal in names here. You can just describe him.
Oh. Yeah. You would say a name and then we'd be like, don't know him. I didn't know. Like, I knew who Dean was, but I still don't know who the other guy's name was.
Sam.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, Sam is the brother. Okay. Yeah. No, I understand now.
Oh, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Okay.
Yeah, that's a name.
It's three first names is what it is.
Yes. Jeffrey. Nice. Very good. Yeah. So dad. So that was an interesting choice to be like, your mom and dad are over there. It's like, why didn't you show them?
Yeah. Probably
I feel like that would have been a good cameo, right? Is he expensive now? Is that why?
Jeffrey Dean Morgan is like far too hot and popular to be... you know,
totally fair.
Slumming it with the Supernatural cast.
He's like, Supernatural, no. Yeah. Okay.
Another fun character on the show. Just to sidebar. Do you remember DJ Qualls?
I have no idea who that is.
You will recognize him if you Google him. But he's a popular reoccurring character.
How do you spell Qualls? I see him.
Oh, yeah. Is he the guy from The New Guy?
Yeah, whoa! Yeah. His name is DJ Qualls?
I know, right? Yeah. What a name.
Wow. Wait, who does he play?
He plays another hunter named Garth.
Cool. All right. Well, yeah. So... Dean's in heaven. He talks to Bobby, name drops a whole bunch of people, and then has the greatest tagline for heaven that I've ever heard, which was, this is the heaven you deserve. And I was like, yes, that goes under the sign. You know, that's perfect. Yeah. Jack and Cass were mentioned again at this point, and he was told that they helped change whatever was going on within heaven.
Yeah.
So leading me to believe that they're alive somewhere, but you did mention that they are somewhere in the universe. The beer tasting like crap. That was very funny.
Yeah. That was great.
Very cute moment.
They also love like mild drinking and driving in this TV show. Like he's cruising a beer and then he's like, you know, hop in the car. Like maybe, I don't know, drink some water. Like, Give it an hour.
Wait a bit. Yeah.
If they're pretending to be in America, they're probably drinking an American beer, which is basically water.
Snap.
I love it. And then when he sees his car, because all he needs in heaven is his car, apparently.
Yeah.
Walks towards it. You got the blues guitar going on. And then we got Carry On, My Wayward Son.
Fuck.
Which was just, he's like, I'm going to go for a drive. And then the montage of him driving the car and then Sam having his life, which again was ambiguous to what exactly he was doing with his life.
He was raising his son.
Old Sam. He was raising his son. Yes. Names him Dean, which was great because there was a name tag for him. Never says it out loud. The nameless wife, who we got to know nothing about. So she was there at one point, but like in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
Then I made fun. In my notes, I make fun of old Sam quite a bit because of the wig.
That's fair.
And the fact that it was like they didn't even put prosthetics to give him wrinkles or something. Like he looked gorgeous and then he had gray hair. And I'm like, that's just a silver fox. Like, beautiful. Then it goes to Sam about to die. His son, being very understanding, says, you can go now, which again horrified me. I'm sorry, Mike, would you say that to your parents?
I don't know. Probably not.
It was weird. It was weird, right?
I mean, well, yeah, like I guess I wouldn't. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Again, well, this again goes to my frustration of we don't know what he was doing, really. Like,
yeah,
because if he was monster hunting, yeah, I get it. There's weight on his shoulder. He can go now. Like, you can let go of all of that. Yeah. But he wasn't. He was raising his son. Are you saying that you, the son, were a very big burden on your father? That you could go now. We're good.
You know what? I feel like this finale kind of runs into like the Harry Potter problem of a bit, where it's like it's almost better if you don't watch them like grow old and then just sort of like why? What's the point of having that? Why not just end it when you know the guy that, you know, I don't know.
Well, I mean, I kind of disagree because, like, I get that the Harry Potter epilogue is like, where did this come from? But like this one, it's the final death of the multiple deaths.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that gives it. I guess it's a little bit. It was just confusing.
Yeah, it's like they got to grow old though. Yeah, it was confusing. It was confusing, and they didn't give us any clear information for it. Maybe it was a great montage / nostalgia thing for people to be like, oh, they finally get to grow old and be happy, question mark.
And not kill monsters, maybe? I don't...
Yeah, like, there's some solace, I think, in just knowing that Sam finally got to stop doing the thing that he never wanted to do in the first place. Like,
yeah.
It's like, oh, well, that's good for him, even though, like, you know, they don't really explain it at all, like what he's doing or like how he can own a house or do any of the stuff. Like he's just existing.
Credit card scams.
Maybe he's still hustling pool. Like he was really fucking good at it.
Maybe. And then so we finally, and then like the montage flips between Dean and Sam. Dean just, and then Carry On My Wayward Son is still blaring. And then so, but nothing happened in heaven at all.
Yeah. At one point, Bobby says, Dean says something about missing Sam, and Dean says, and Bobby says,
yeah, time works differently. Yeah, he'll be around. Along, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He'll be
so
around.
He goes for a drive. I mean, Carry On My Wayward Son is a really fucking long song if you listen to the thing.
And they played it twice.
Yeah, so maybe that's the equivalent of 40-some years.
Okay. I don't know. I think it would have been nice if his brother waited for him a little bit to be like, oh, man, like, I missed you, instead of like, hey, it's been 5 minutes. Welcome. I mean, if I died, went to heaven, went for a drive, and then my brother was there too, I'd be like, what happened?
Yeah, like no questions. Like no like,
questions asked.
Hey man, so what have you been up to? Like how long has it been?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
did you die of natural causes? Did you get like eaten by something?
Yeah, he wasn't like any wiser of the he wasn't watching like in some way watching his brother grow old.
Yeah.
So he's no way to know whether like he was still fighting. He has no way to know that he's an uncle or anything either. And then yeah, then they just you know are on a. What are those called?
It's a bridge.
I'm very tired. Bridge. It's called a bridge. They're on that bridge, and then they just look out into the distance, and it's obviously BC.
It's in the States somewhere, probably.
But it's in the States.
No, it's in heaven.
It's in heaven. Yeah. Heaven's probably still the States, though, you know, the way it works over there.
Yeah.
And then something I have never seen before... with the actors and the cast, like the cast and crew saying thank you to the fans and then it ending like that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that we haven't seen that in any of the other finales before. I mean, it kind of makes sense because it's like 15 years is a long time, particularly for a scripted show.
Right.
But yeah, wow, man.
But was it scripted?
But was it scripted?
Question scripts? Question.
I question.
I think like for a show, like this isn't like a necessarily like a massively well-funded show. Like it doesn't have a massive budget, as you can tell by some of the intro and the...
Yeah.
The special effects and stuff, it's not like it has millions of dollars to spend.
Yeah.
So like for them to sort of scrap and claw and like the people like would bitch. Like, if the, like, it's like, oh, this might be the last season, people just fucking lose their minds. I'm like, no. CW, I swear to God, I will burn your offices down if you cancel Supernatural.
Well, I'm glad that they caved to the terrorists, yeah, then, and gave them 15 seasons of this show. So, Ty, what does Supernatural mean to you?
Supernatural is a really fun show that, you know, you can drop into most of the time and know that you're getting a pretty good product. Like, the writing's always very on point. It's very consistent. It felt really weird watching the finale and having it end because it's been so long and I've been watching it for half of my life. So, you know, you think about where you were 15 years ago and you're like, holy fuck, I don't know how to describe it. It's like watching your fourth favorite band break up.
Good. All right, well, do you want to go first, Melanie? Do you want to do the honors?
Oh, you are we doing reviews? Review time. Okay. You know, there were some things that I really liked about this episode. Mainly watching the two bros like hang out. I thought that it was fun. I think that's kind of what this show is about. It's about being fun. But there are some inconsistencies. There are inconsistencies in there that really struck a nerve, I think. I think I would probably give it like pretty average, like 5 out of 10 salted bones.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I feel like I should preface this with, I appreciate the fact that Supernatural means a lot to a lot of people and that it means a lot to the Vancouver film industry. I did recognize someone that I know in this episode, which is cool. Hello, you know who you are. But at the end of the day, it really wasn't for me. It really bothered me how boring the episode was. It really bothered me that like having a chores montage followed by a pie thing and then just, oh, now we get some, oh man, it was so boring. I can't. It's you should carry on with one wayward son out of 10. So
ouch.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Honestly, that's fair.
That's fair. I just like how you're like, I understand that a lot of people like this, but also, fuck you. That's pretty much what you just did.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I can't.
Mike, if it makes you feel any better, I'm sure that there's like a bunch of inaccuracies with my retelling of like a lot of the older episodes that are going to piss way more people off than your review of it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Ty, what did you think about the finale?
I mean, as somebody that watched every other episode, I thought it was pretty good. I think they picked a lot of obvious plot lines to sort of make everybody feel good. You know, there's very little friction. Like, despite Dean dying, like, that's kind of what, if you were a fan of the show, you kind of knew that was going to come at some point anyways. So,
right.
I mean, I would give it 7 dropped knives out of 10.
Nice. Amazing. Nice.
And finally, we should talk about if we would go back and watch the rest of the series based on what they saw in this episode. No. But I am curious about a few of the weird gimmick episodes, like you mentioned. I do kind of want to watch the Scooby-Doo one. I do like me some Scooby-Doo. And I do kind of want to watch the weird Meta Vancouver one. So I'll probably, you know, if I'm bored, I'll probably go and watch those two specific episodes. But no, I do not feel like watching a 300 episode show right now.
I have a question about the Scooby-Doo episode real quick. Mm-hmm. Is it live action or is it cartoon?
Both.
Whoa.
They get sucked into a television. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm kind of into that.
If you like, Mike, if you like Scooby-Doo, you will like the Scooby-Doo episode.
Okay.
I just didn't like Scooby-Doo.
What? Okay, sorry. That's a whole other thing. Yeah. You opened a box here, sir. No, we're not touching on that. We're touching on that after. Would I go back and watch this show? No, I wouldn't. And here's why. This episode was fine, but I am fully aware that it is not always fine. And you can thank my two friends for that when I see them watching this show, they are mad.
Yeah.
And they still watch it. So I don't, for me, I don't think it's really for me. And that's a little bit upsetting because I do really like the fantasy and like vampires and werewolves and stuff. Not Twilight, but like everything else, basically. Like, I really enjoy that kind of stuff. And I still don't think that this is the show for me. Also, 300 is like a lot. That's like 15 years worth of content. I don't think I could get there because my friends have been watching for 15 years. They're not done.
Yeah.
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 Like I said, it's a slog. Like,
Yeah. So, I don't think, but I would probably go back and watch some key episodes, like highlights. Again, this show's about saving time. And stuff.
Yeah.
So give me your top 10, okay?
Top
10 episodes.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be now. You can send it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah, no, that's too much. I know we've been asking a lot of you to be like, hey, of the 15 years worth of content, could you please tell us every time this person has died? that's a lot. But if you, later on, if you want to send me some episodes to watch, I will definitely do that.
Yeah, I will. I'll think of some good ones. Like I said, this is such a bad episode to start with. Like, if you airdropped into any season, any episode from season like 1 to 5, it would be a lot more fun and like engaging than this.
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah, they just started phoning it in at some point.
Yeah, I'm not going to go ahead and tell you to commit to the marathon that is watching every single episode of Supernatural.
I will say that this is probably the only show in my life that I have ever watched just the first episode and just the last episode.
Right. That's
I don't think I've seen anything else.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Another note. I think it's like the very last episode of season 4. Dean declares, I'm going to kill God. And that's season 4. So I think you can watch seasons 1 through 4 and then 15 and it'll be like the same thing.
Oh, like they did it. Yeah. Yay. Okay, cool.
Cool. And indications. Check them out. We'll link their Bandcamp and Spotify in our show notes.
You can follow me at The Target Demo on Twitter and at DempsT on Instagram. And you can follow Indications at Indications Rock on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook as well.
Nice.
Yeah, I guess that would be the end. So we don't need to like end on a joke or anything.
You don't want to end on a joke, Mike?
I mean,
this whole television show is a joke, right?
Oh shit! You love this show.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com.